Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
The act that I got is overpriced and you can't get this no. You in your bag now, and you ain't never been a man, you gotta brag now. And you ain't never been the type to finish last now. You made it to the NBA from a class clown.
It's crazy how this shit changed.
Yeah, yeah, they won't love you if you stay the same.
Yeah, yeah, they won't love you if you feel your pain.
You got that platform, better speak your truth. Penetration through these words, fuck they bulletproof.
Time to give me,
cause I'm in my bag, oh, and I won't finish last, no, no, cause I'm in my bag, oh.
Alrighty, guys, we are live with yet another episode of the What's In Your Bag podcast presented by Bet Online. And today we have a special guest, man. We got one of my brothers. You know, we go way, way back. Edos days, you know what I'm saying? Greenbelt Rec gym days. One of my, closest friends, man, Marquise Reed, man. So, Marquise, thank you for coming on with us today.
Already appreciate y'all for having me, man.
No doubt, no doubt, man. And for the people who don't know, like I said, man, Marquise is, man, we go way back, bro. You know what I'm saying? Back to the days before. None of us had... none of this overseas stuff, none of this D1 stuff, man. It's been a journey, man. And, you know, for you, I can remember back in high school, man, you led the area in scoring as a senior, you know, back at, what was it called back then? Was it Capital Christian?
Yeah, it was Capital Christian. They went from Princeton Day to Capital Christian.
Yeah. So I remember, I mean, you led the area in scoring, but I mean, at this point, you still didn't have any offers, man. And then you ended up going to Robert Morris, they get to Clemson, you know, becoming an all-ACC guard, man. So just talk me through that process, man. You know, but before we get to the overseas stuff, you know what I'm saying? All the buckets, you know, talk me through this that beginning time, man, when you kind of had to go from getting out the mud and then just that process that happened over the next 2 years.
Sure, man. Growing up, PG County, you know, it's hoopers everywhere, bro. Like, outside, you go to the rec, you go to the blacktop, it's hoopers. So you competing against a lot of competition out there. So the window is very small, so, you know what I'm saying, they get overlooked. So it's a lot of guys from my area, man, that got overlooked and then go D1 and then go D2, but can hoop. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Uncle Scoob. Pure example, Uncle Scooby getting it done.
Facts.
Getting it done.
Facts.
Uncle Scooby getting it done. That's an example right there. But you know what I'm saying? So I led the area in scoring senior year. I ain't had that many offers. I think I had one offer. Yeah, I had one offer, Florida Gulf Coast. I committed to Florida Gulf Coast. And then the coaches end up leaving. Mm-hmm. And they end up going to USC in California. Mm-hmm. So that offer was off the table. And then I was just trying to figure it out, man. You know, so I think I end up tapping in with Brick, with the whole E-Days organization. And, you know, he plugged in with, like, coaches. And scouts and things like that. So I went to a few open gyms, you know, a few coaches in there, caught the eyes of some coaches. And then Robert Morris had came, I ended up taking that offer. I know I wanted to go D1, so I was like, man, first round, I'm getting them out. I'm for the church, I gotta get out, I gotta go somewhere, you know what I'm saying? So I took that Robert Morris offer, and it panned out well for me. You know, I got the freshman of the year. I think I made second team all NEC, and then we won the championship, went to the NCAA tournament. So that was a real, real productive and successful year. Like, out of nothing, though, like, that wasn't supposed to be. So, you know, so it's just all about opportunity for people where we're from. You get the opportunity, like, you're going to seize the moment.
Yep.
So that's where it went from. As far as my first year of college, and then I also had a good year, and I transferred to Clemson. Had to sit out a year. And then my sophomore year, I came off the bench. was running up for sixth man of the year. I think I averaged like 10 points or 11 points off the bench, and that was like the highest in Clemson history for somebody coming off the bench. So I did that, and then we went to the NIT that year. And then my redshirt junior year, that's when we had a big year. We went to Sweet 16. Then we finished fourth in the ACC or third in one of them. We played in the tournament. Oh, we played New Mexico State first round, got them out of there. Played Auburn, put the whooping on them. Then we played Kansas, lost in the Sweet 16. So yeah, that was one of my best years of college for sure. You know what I'm saying? We had a great team. We had Shel Mitchell, you know, Dante Grantham, Elijah Thomas, Gabe DeVoe. We had Mark Donnell, transfer from Michigan, David Scarver, transfer from Vaporo. Who's the and that that's
Vaporizzo,
cool.
Yeah.
Vaporizzo, yeah. So and we had some good freshmen that was locked in and wanted to help out. So that was a real good year right there. And then everything just translated to the pro level where I'm at now. You know, I spent 3 years in France and now I'm in Italy. So everything panning out, you know, how God wanted it.
You mentioned earlier, you know, just growing up in PG and what that was like. You know, a lot of people don't know that it's home to a lot of the, you know, richest Black people in America. A lot of people don't know that. So kind of talk to us about what that meant growing up in PG County, what the hoop scene was like, any maybe mentors that you came across that you kind of keep in contact through all your destinations, Clemson, Italy, everything.
Yeah. So growing up in PG County, you know, it was fun, man. Like, just going outside, to playing, getting into sports, you know, getting into trouble, just little kid stuff. But it's all like embracing the culture. Like the culture is just so, like, you gotta be from there to understand. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got different little things. Like we got the go-go. Like just going outside. Like Drew. Like where we going? Like we going to La Pearl? But CFP? Where we at? You know what I'm saying? So it's just little fun things like that to do to like occupy time. And then we got a lot. Like rec center, so you just go there and hoop all day. Like I remember being like 8, 9 years old, I just go to rec, just post up at the rec all day. Ain't nothing else to do. You know what I'm saying? So just enjoying that part of life, and then linking up with guys that you grew up with, and just to see like they want to do the same thing that you want to do in life. So it's rare that you find those dudes, but when you do, like you got, you know what I'm saying, keep them close. And then as far as like the mentorship, like once I, my first real mentor was really Rick. Like that's my first real mentor. That's why I still talk to him to this day. Like we talk every day, we're in a group chat. And he just be giving me advice every day on different situations, basketball, life outside of basketball, you know, fatherhood, things like that. And my grandfather, he was another big inspiration to me. You know, he's the one always taking me to AAU practice, rec ball practice. He's the one ripping and running for me, like as far as like sports and anything off the court. So that was pretty much my upbringing right there.
Now you touched a little bit on your first response, just talking about that Sweet 16 run that you guys had at Clemson. And for most people, when they think of Clemson, right, the first thing they think of is football, you know, and national championships and all that kind of stuff. So for you, going to a football school, man, and, like, taking them to the Sweet 16, like, what was that time like for you on campus? What was the vibes like? What was that accomplishment like for you? Just looking back on it now, because it's been, what, like, 3 or 4 years now. So looking back, just, you know, what does that accomplishment mean to you?
So, like, when I first went there, bro, I didn't know nothing about nothing. Like, all I knew, they was in the ACC for hoops. Like, I didn't know how big football was, sports was in general. Yeah. So I went to my first football game. I'm there with my teammates and stuff. And they just naming everybody. They're like, oh yeah, that's Deshaun Watson. Like, that's Mike Williams. Like naming all these big time players. I ain't know nothing about it. I'm like, damn, we really nice like that. Like, yeah. So then I think that year they end up winning the national championship. National championship. So camp is going crazy. You got like 5 teams ranked in the top 10. Like, I ain't experienced nothing like that. I'm coming from a mid-major, you know what I'm saying? I'm coming from small high schools. Like, so all this new to me, it's like a whole culture shock, but I'm embracing it. Like, I'm having fun. Like, that was some of the, like, funner times of my life, like, at Clemson, for sure.
So then, and so then that sorry, wait, so then when y'all made the Sweet 16, like, after that, did y'all feel the love on campus? Were the fans still like, all right, that's lit? Or was it kind of like, all right, the football school, where we're tripping off basketball, going to Sweet 16? Like,
No. They were showing love, bro. Like, everywhere we went, like, they taking pictures, like, you signing the autographs, like, everywhere you go, the love was there. It was genuine, too. Like, even the love from the football team, like, Dabo, like, he'll come and talk to us before the games. Like, they wanted us to, like, do good, like, because, like, it has been so long since, like, success from the basketball program. So, like, when it happened, like, it was like, yes, like, finally, like, so. Yeah. So, now the love was real, for sure.
That's dope.
So, when you first got there, do you think you experienced, like, any issues gelling with the team coming in as a transfer, or do you think that transition was pretty easy just with you all, you know, everyone's able to relate with basketball, that's the common thing that you have, too, but just because, yeah, you know, teammates doesn't mean that there's a friendship there. So, like, how did that go, kind of transferring in that transition?
Yeah, I say, like, my first year I went there, the team, like, my first 2 years there, so my first year I had to sit out, and then my second year, that was my first year playing. So those first 2 years, I don't think, like, the guys on the team, like, they like we was cool with each other, but we wasn't, like, close, like, you supposed to be, like, on those championship teams. Like, you know the feeling, like, when, like, everybody, like, your brother and stuff. Like, we had some, like, groups, like, separation. But, like, when we were on the court, like, obviously we went to the war, but, like, we wasn't as close as, like, that Sweet 16 team. And, like, you can just tell the difference between those teams. And that's, like, That's why we were so good my junior year, because how close we were, like, on and off the court. Like, that matters, like, on the court. Like, as far as, like, if you look at the long-term goal, as far as, like, championships and winning and things like that.
Now, so kind of fast forward from Clemson, man. Like I said, you had a great career there. You were one of the top scorers in the ACC. Took Clemson to a Sweet 16. Ended up scoring over 2,000 points over the totality of your college career. You're coming out and you end up playing summer league with the Pistons, if I remember correctly, your first year. And you ended up going overseas to France in your first year. But I kind of want to talk about it, man, because a lot of guys in your position, man, like, coming from a Power Five, coming from all ACC, come off the career that you had, they're like, man, I'm going to the league. Like, I'm chasing that G League. I'm forcing my way to the league one way or another. And you've been a guy. Despite you, just the summer league opportunity, and despite the career you had, I mean, you made a career overseas, and you've been playing at a high level, literally from the first year you stepped over there. So, yeah. For you, man, like, what was that process like for you, man? Like, damn, like, all right, I'm coming from being, you know, one of the guys in all. Yeah. Should I chase the league, like, or should I go overseas? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's that thought process like for you? You know, what was that time period like for you at that time?
Yeah. You know, I knew I always want to play professionally. You know what I'm saying? Like, my dream was always, you know, go to the NBA. And with my resume, like, I would think I should be there or would be there. But, you know what I'm saying? God got his path for everybody. And I wasn't going to, like, beat myself up on, like, trying to get in the league. Like, it's either they wanted me or they didn't. Like, I want to go where I want it at the end of the day. Like, I love playing basketball, but I want to be out there having fun and being somewhere where I'm wondering, like, I want to be at a home. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like I should have to chase somebody down to be in your home. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's the whole feeling as far as, like, that NBA stuff. Like, I did in my workouts. I had some really good workouts. Summer league, I didn't get a fair chance, opportunity. So I didn't really get the whole experience like I should have, you know what I'm saying? So after summer league, like, it really just threw me off from the league, bro. Like, I really not gonna give me a chance, bro. Like, I'm second team ACC, like, lead, third league school in the ACC behind Zion and RJ Barrett. Like, there's no way, like, a guy like that don't get a chance. I looked up dudes from before that made second team ACC or third, anybody who made all ACC, like, got a chance on the NBA, on the NBA team, like, whether it was summer league, training camp, or something. You know what I'm saying? So that was just weird to me that it ain't happened like that. But like I said, everybody path different. So I wasn't going to beat myself up about it. And then, so after summer league, my agent was saying some teams like we can wait to get a exhibit 10 or whatever. And I said I wasn't doing like the normal G League. You know what I'm saying? Like I wasn't selling for like the normal G League. Like I'm past that. Right. So I gave him a deadline and I ain't had nothing by the deadline, so I told him see what they can do overseas. And I gave him a number that I wanted. And I told him to come back when he got it. So he got some and he had like three deals. And then the one that stuck out to me was France because I've been taking French since like seventh or eighth grade. Not since like eighth grade, I've been taking French. So it's crazy how it worked out like that. Like that's kind of like my comfort zone outside of English. So the number was good and I heard the French league is like the closest thing to the NBA outside of the Australian League, the NBL. So I was like, man, why not? I did take a chance, do what I gotta do. And I was hungry too. Like I wanted to play, like I wanted to hoop, I wanted to like be a pro. So that it just felt like that. I went over there, did what I had to do. Like I was like 16 and like four, like three my first year. And I'm setting myself up for now. So that first year definitely paved the way for my career.
So a lot of people, they don't really realize, you know, how much money there is to be made overseas or just like the overall perks of, you know, going overseas. It's always NBA, NBA, but, you know, there's overseas as well. So I can kind of walk us through some of those perks of, you know, choosing to go the overseas route.
Oh, yeah. You go overseas, man, they take care of you, like, especially in the right situation. I ain't going to say every country take care of you, but most of the high levels and the so-so levels, they take care of you for the most part. So the perks is you get a car, you get a crib, whether it's a house, you got a family or apartment. You get health insurance, which most people don't got. you get they pay for your food on the road, you know what I'm saying? You get physical therapy, you get all that type of stuff. So you really don't, I mean, you spend your money on what, food, gas. Other than that, you ain't paying no rent. You ain't paying for Wi-Fi. You ain't paying no cable bills. You ain't paying nothing. Everything tax-free, all your money tax-free. So you're getting all your money. And, most overseas contracts be more than standard G League contracts. So I just say my advice, if you love basketball, you love the game, then overseas is not a bad route, you know what I'm saying?
Now, kind of speaking on that, you know, you just welcomed a new addition into your family. You know, got a baby fresh into the world now. You got your family over there in Italy with you. For people who kind of don't know how to navigate that or just like, you know, for you, like, what was that process like talking to the team? Like, all right, man, like, you know, can you guys accommodate my family? And then also, you know, what's that just been like being able to have your family over there with you, man? Because me, I'm over here in Japan, solo dolo with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just a lot of lonely nights over here. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. You just talk about what that's like, man, being able to have that comfort zone to lean on and stuff like that while you're over the water.
Yeah. No, it's needed, bro, especially like mentally and physically. Like just coming home and knowing that like your girl there or your son or your daughter waiting on you. Like that's what you're looking forward to after like practice and games and stuff like that. The first thing you want to see or talk to is your family. Like, family all we got for real. So just having them here is just a whole stress reliever. Knowing, like, I can just come home and touch them after a long day. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my first three years, I was overseas by myself. So I was doing the long-distance thing. Like, wifey would come out there time to time, but she never stayed out there, like, full time. So it's our first time full time and we adjusting, but like we loving it because like we get to see each other every day. You know what I'm saying? So they're just having that support there, you know, when you're not playing good, you know, doing the good and the bad, just to have that support there is needed for sure.
It's a lot of newness, you know, that comes along with overseas. Everything is new, language, culture, everything. And, you know, Italy is known a lot for its food. So is there anything that you tried over there that you might have been like, I'm not really feeling it. I'm not really trying to try it, but you tried it and you ended up liking it. Or just something like something, any type of food that you've had that has been pretty good.
Hey, did I try anything that I said I was going to try? Oh yeah. I'm really be eating like red sauce pastas, but in Italy I've been trying the red sauce pastas. Like the what did I get? It was like a seafood pasta, but it had red sauce in it. So I've been trying that. What else? I feel like I tried something else. I can't remember.
Or maybe like the best meal you've had since you've been there, like something along those lines.
The best meal I had. Well, the best meal in France I had. I'm gonna start by France. So I was there first. It's in Paris. This is a restaurant called Ziti. And they got like this bomb pizza, bro. Bomb pizza. It's an Italian restaurant. It has bomb pizza and they got pasta. So like you can build your own pasta, but it's like an Alfredo, but they don't call it Alfredo. They don't call nothing Alfredo overseas. Like,
yeah, I was about to say, Alfredo is a super American thing, bro. I was in Milan during the fever break last year. I'm looking at the menu. I'm like, I'm like pasta right away. Look at the menu. Yeah. Ain't no nothing even close to Alfredo at all.
Nothing. But they got something similar to the Alfredo. So that's probably my favorite meal in France. And then Italy, my favorite restaurant food so far was we got the steakhouse here called Don Ingus, and the steak is A1. Like the meats overseas, pause, is like way better than the steaks. It's like it's no preservatives, none of that. Like everything fresh. Yep. So
okay. How quick follow up. So for people, man, like everybody hype when they talk about Italy, oh, the pasta, the pizza. Has the pasta and the pizza in Italy lived up to the hype of the Italian allure?
You say yeah?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right, you say yeah. I mean, I had some good pasta here, but I don't think it ain't better than the best joint at the crib, for sure. I don't think so.
Bruh.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's a hot take.
Is it true? You said not true? So the pasta here is better than the pasta
here? You're making your own pasta. You're not trying pasta that's authentically Italian. You do it, create your own everywhere we go.
What's wife is saying for the folks that
so she says better. She says better here.
Okay.
She says better here.
Okay.
I don't know. I might be biased because I can't put her all that stuff. I can't put all the stuff in it that I do at the crib. It's good, though. It's good, for sure.
Okay.
You know, we just grew up on it for so long, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get something different. You like, dang. It's all right, but it ain't what I'm used to.
Back.
It's good, though.
Do we want to go to mismatch or?
Yeah. Let's get in the match or mismatch. Let's get in the match or mismatch. So, all right, Keith, man. We got a dope segment, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, we're going to get into the we're gonna get into your brand a little bit, but first, you know, we want to ask you some fashion segments. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You've played in France and Italy, man. You know, two of the most fashionable countries. Two of the most fashionable. You mentioned Paris just now. I seen your flicks on the ground. You was posting from Milan. You know what I'm saying? So, what's the fashion been like out there, man? In Paris and Italy, like, are there any trends that you've seen out there that you like? All right, they kind of fly out here. Like, you know, what are some stuff that you've noticed just about the overseas drip that you can tell the folks?
Paris is the flyest city in the world to me.
I beg to differ. Because
it's crazy. Listen,
hey, you know Stanton Kidd? You know Stanton Kidd? He's from around the way.
Yeah, I know.
We just had a podcast with him, episode 2. We was talking about the Tokyo drip. I think Tokyo might be the most drippiest city in the world. I ain't gonna lie.
Tokyo drippy?
Drippy. Drippy.
Hey.
I should have cut the guest off, but I had to throw that out there. I'm biased. You know what I'm saying? I'm biased. So I had to throw it out there. I want to let you finish your statement. My fault, bro.
Yeah. No, but Paris, though, like, everybody be dressing out that joint, bro. Like from shoes. As soon as they come out the womb, they dressing. Like they dressing, bro. I'm telling you. Like it's stuff like you never even seen before. Like, dang, what's this brand? Like, there's so many brands I be seeing, like when people walk past, I'm like, bro, like what are they wearing? Like I'm trying to be in that. Like I be thinking I be fleet, bro. They be really fleety, bro. They really got that out there for sure.
Okay.
People working at McDonald's, they working at McDonald's, they got their whole McDonald's suit with some Balenciagas. Yeah. Like crazy, bro. Like it's stuff like that. Like they really do it out there. They do it out there.
I think I heard too that the McDonald's out there is a little different. Like it's not like the American McDonald's on Largo Road. Like what is the
no
what is the difference?
Definitely not like the McDonald's on Largo Road. The McDonald's overseas be busting. Like it's a restaurant. Like people really take their families there for dinner.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like for real. Like
I got a fear of I have yet to go to a McDonald's outside of the airport overseas. I didn't go when I was in Portugal, haven't gone to Japan. Like, yeah, I don't really be eating McDonald's like that. People be saying you should try it. So
it's busting, bro. That's the best McDonald's ever, bro. You will never look back. I don't eat McDonald's like that in the crib, but overseas,
you never. I might just gotta try it, bro, for the experience. I might just gotta do it.
I heard too they have like all the menu items, like all the like even from like
wings. Snack wraps, they like, got wings, bro. They got wings out here, bro.
McDonald's wings. Crazy.
Wings going crazy. They got spice. I was in the Netherlands. We had a game in the Netherlands. They had chicken tenders and they had spicy. They had the spicy McChicken.
Hey,
like they was going stupid, bro. Spicy McChicken going stupid. No.
Now, Doso, have you bought any like unique pieces like that's kind of unique to you know Italy or France? Like for example, in Japan right now, like what's in out here is like the oversized stuff is like super in, like the oversized like bell bottom pants or like how we do like similar to the essential hoodies and stuff like that. People out here are super super into that in Japan, and like I had to go to Zara, cop a little fit. You know what I'm saying? I had the flick I threw on the gram last week. You know, but for you. Was there any pieces you kind of seen? Are people were like, "Oh, man, that's dope." I'm gonna try to get with that a little bit. Like as far as the fashion scene,
For sure. It's a couple brands I copped out Paris. Like one of my brands, what's it called? Jacquemus. Jacquemus is brand.
Yo, that's crazy. Yo, you know what's crazy, bro? This is a real story, bro. It's a real story. So I'm in Milan last year for Fashion Week, bro. So I knew this promoter through one of my homies. He plugged me in. So we in this section, bro, and I'm seeing nothing but supermodels. I'm like, yo, nah, like, and the thing is, I know the supermodels because they're super, like, petite and, like, it look crazy. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Hey, man.
Thing you know, this white man comes out the creases, like, passing me shots. Next thing you know, this girl comes up to me. She's like, you know who that is? I'm like, nah, who is that? Like, bro, she pulled
no
the,
way.
Like, she pulled the purse, the little Zyquemus joke. Hey, that's him. I'm like, that's him, man. Bro, I'm looking up his Instagram. I'm like, that's him, bro. I got a picture of him on my phone, like right now. Like, we in the bro, I got a picture of him on my phone right now. Feel me? I was
that's crazy. On
the camera right now, but I ain't going, you know what I'm saying? But I was in Milan, stay in Milan. So I ain't going to do that. But yeah, we was litty.
That's crazy. Hey, nah, I got to see that after this, though. I
got
to see that.
I got you. I sent it to you.
Jacquemus, y'all, that's hard, bro. His stuff, his clothes hard, bro. And like his bags for women, like them joints go crazy.
Got the little the mini bags. So when you try to like, it's just enough just put a phone, the lip gloss, and the keys. You just do that.
Yeah.
I know he made clothes. I thought he was just bags.
Clothes.
Oh, the clothes.
Damn. I might got a cop stuff for Broden. I got a cop.
Crazy. What else I got?
The uniform.
Oh, another Paris hit gym called Uniform Paris. Uniform Paris goes stupid. Word. Look it up right now. Yeah, look it up. The prices might be crazy, but just look at it. Like it's fleet. And what's the other one I got?
Lanvin.
Yeah. Lanvin Paris. Yep. No, not Lanvin. No, that wasn't that. It was Sandro.
Sandro
Paris. Sandro Paris.
Oh, I heard about that some rap songs before. I heard about that before. I think somebody rapped about
yeah.
it.
Before. Like you saw what I wore in my baby shower?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was Sandro.
Okay, that overseas drip for
yeah.
the making the people. Making
yeah.
the people. Uh-huh.
What else? I got a bunch of hidden gems out there. I usually like I go to Kiff and like they be having like the Kiff in Paris, bro. Yes. Like they be having all the drip in there, like just all the different like designers in there.
I just went to the Kiff in Tokyo like last week. I was at the Kiff in Tokyo and I joined asking there too. Yeah, crazy stuff, bro. Crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back. Yeah. I have to go back, man.
But so I love.
I can't go too crazy, man. Right. I spent my whole check in there. Be
man.
Bad.
man.
You have your own brand and you know that you started in Hanon Clothing Company, and you know, for you, man, just talk about that. Like what inspired you to start that? Like, you know, I mean, like I said, I think being from DMV, like I think we always been putting it on, you know what I'm saying? But for you, what inspired you to kind of get into the fashion lane, you know what I'm saying, and start your own brand?
Honestly, bro, it happened because we was bored one day during COVID. So we bored one day during COVID. I get back from overseas. And me and my girl, we in the house at my dad's house. And we was like, man, you trying to make some hoodies? And she was like, yeah. So we went to the store. We got some Walmart Gildan hoodies. And we got some, we got some tie-dye. And so we, how we do it? I forgot. You wet the hoodies up, put them in water. And then we just sprayed tie-dye on them joints. let them joints dry. And then like, we ordered some like patches, like off Amazon, right? We ordered some patches off Amazon. Iron them joints on. It's like iron on patches. Fire though. Iron them joints on. Then we just posted them joints, bro. And then my DMs just started going stupid. And it's like, bro, you selling these? I was like, yeah. And we made like 10 of them joints. Them joints were sold in like 30 minutes. All 10 of them. Hold up. What's up with this? We didn't think nothing of it. So we got bored another day. We did it on some we did some more hoodies. This time we made like 20 of them. Did the same thing. Then posting them joints. Then like an hour, them joints sold. We like, all right, we got to do something about this. Like this job like getting crazy. So like, we just kept going with it ever since then. Like, and then we went from like, we started off with the tie-dye stuff, like the tie-dye hoodies, shirts, shorts. And then like, we just started like, really like selling it down. Like, all right, what we want to do? And then we just came up with the Hanno. We came up with the name Hanno. Like we searched for names for a long time, and the Hanno just hit. Cause my grandma always said like she wanted me to like create a business like with something to like do with God or whatever. She Christian, you know what I'm saying? In the church. I always grew up in the church, so I'm like, all right, let me see what I can do for grandma. So the Hanno hit me, boom. And then in German, it means a gift from God. I was like, yeah, that's it right there. His handle hard, and then everybody's gonna ask, dang, what handle mean? And then yeah. German, it mean a gift from God. So spanked him right there. And then, we just started taking off from there. At first, we started doing our own logos, like doing our own logos on the computer. I was like, dang, man, this one time consuming. I'm hooping, I'm doing all this other stuff. I got a lot going on. So then I hired a little graphic designer. So all my new stuff now, like I got a graphic designer doing everything. Like I come up with the idea that I want, I tell him, and he just created for me. So that's how that started, and like it's been booming now. Like everybody back home be wearing it. My dudes in the league be wearing it. Like a whole bunch of famous people. Like it's really going up. So I'm just trying to keep going with it. Now I'm trying to have the whole world in it.
So being that, you know, you all started it during the pandemic, did that add any additional challenges or did it kind of, in a way, make the pandemic a little bit more enjoyable? Because now it's like, okay, it's this thing I get to wake up every morning and create. I mean, of course, you're still playing basketball, still working out when you can, but yeah. like something else to look forward to while everybody just, you know, making it seem like it's this gloomy time, but here you are, you know, creating all these things.
Yeah, it was a fun time for me. The pandemic was fun. Like, we doing all that creating, like, it gave us something else to do. Like, I couldn't really get in the gym like that, so I'm shooting outside on the court, on my dad's court, and then I'm like, dang, what else can I make today for the clothes? So it just gave me something else to do and enjoy the pandemic. And, like, shoot, it just opened up my creativity even more. Because I like creating things and stuff like that. So that just gave me, like, a little more downtime, you know what I'm saying, to focus on, like, my craft like that.
So, like, I mean, you just mentioned it in your previous response about how, like, you had a bunch of players in the league wearing your stuff. I always see you repost people, man. I'd be like, damn, my boy, he doing all right, man. People launching that joint for him. So for you, like, how has that felt for you, man? Like, just seeing something that you started on a whim, on a lazy pandemic day, and then seeing it receive the support that it has from people playing in the league and people wearing it all over the world. Like, what does that mean to you, you know, for seeing where it started?
It's lit, bro. Like, I just to wake up, like, dang, Miami Heat was posting me on their page, my boy Haywood. I'm like, dang, that's tough. Like, man, she hit me. She'll send me the pic. She'll send me, like, this story. I'm like, dang, look, did he just posted Haywood? I'm like, yeah, that's lit. And then, like, another day, like, the Bengals, they post my boy T. Higgins. I'm like, dang, like, this joint really taking off. Like, people really seeing it. Like, it just showed, like, all the hard work paying off. And, like, I'm just glad, like, my stuff ain't trash. Like, because, like, if my joint was trash and that joint was out there, like, I don't know how I feel. But, like, no doubt I'm putting out good quality stuff. That mean a lot. You know what I'm saying? So I take my time. And when I put out stuff, like, I just don't be trying to put out stuff just to get it out there. Like, I really be trying to take my time and, like, make sure, like, the quality there, everything. Mine's quality over quantity.
One thing, man, like, obviously, like I said, so you got your own brand, you kind of got your own influence and, like, you know, your vision as far as where you want, how you want the clothes to look and things like that. Do you feel like being in Europe at all and, like, seeing it, for example, what you've seen in Paris or now being in Italy, seeing the things that the fashion scene has going on out there, do you think any of that has kind of influenced your brand, or have you kind of taken anything from the overseas swag to try to incorporate that into the clothes that you make?
Yeah, for sure. I got some stuff up my sleeve, bro. Like, I'm just waiting. Like, I got so much stuff in the arsenal, bro, just cooking up. But no, I definitely got some influence from Paris, for sure. Italy, I ain't get to experience too much yet. I got to go to Milan and experience Milan. But I'm going to Rome next week, so I'm going to see what they talking about there and see what I can piece together. You know what I'm saying? Because I heard Italy, like, Italy got some swag, especially, like, Milan. So I want to see, like, the difference, you know, between the two.
Thanks. Man, I mean, I think the question that's on my mind is just, like, you know, what's the vision for Handel, right? Like, obviously, you're playing right now, right? You're a full-time hooper. It's not like, you know, you hoop on the side like this, and you're playing at a high level, you know? And I think this is, you know, just speaking on me personally, I feel like this economy right now is such a unique time for players, where you see a bunch of players that are stepping into a bunch of different avenues. Like, if you look in the league right now, you got dudes like Jordan Clarkson, who's like an ambassador for Lululemon, you know, in the fashion scene. Kyle Kuzma is doing Tiffany brands and Puma fashion shows and all type of stuff, you know. And for you, you know, being a player, obviously in the overseas lane, starting your own fashion brand, like, what do you feel like that looks like for you, you know, down the line, right? Like, you know, ideal, you know, best case scenario, like, you know, where do you see Handel going, and how do you have it? Plan on incorporating that, you know, into your playing career, because at the end of the day, they're both large parts of who you are today. You know, and I think that there's no better time than the present to be a basketball player and, you know, be multi-dimensional and kind of, especially stepping into that fashion lane now, especially.
Yeah. So, like, for Handel, like, at this point, like, Handel's like a part of me, like, it's a part of my brand, like, it's a part of my family. So, like, I more so do it for the enjoyment of me and, like, people, like, enjoying it, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't really do it for, like, the clout or, like, the money or whatever. Like, I don't really care about, like, making money from it and stuff like that. I just care, like, to see people, like, wearing my stuff. Like, that's them. That's him or that's her. And, like, Marquise Reed or that's them and Taylor read shirt or jeans or something like that. So just to know that my name is on some beyond basketball is what do it for me.
That's dope. That's dope.
Are we gonna get baby gear anytime soon, or are we just gonna?
Yeah. I'm cooking up too. You know people.
Oh no, I don't have nobody in mind, but I was just thinking you might as well do the baby gear. I mean, people they get their babies and all types of stuff, Gucci, Supreme, all types of stuff. Might as well put them in yours too.
Facts. Yeah, like I said, it's a lot of stuff up the sleeve.
Say no more, man. We definitely got to get wifey her flowers too on the podcast, because like I said, you know, this was a brand that was started by, you know, both of you guys, and you know, definitely want to show her flowers for her her role and everything. And like I said, man, you know, flowers to her, man, and flowers to y'all just for everything you guys are doing with your brand, man. But kind of bringing it all together, man, to a close a little bit, I wanted to kind of end the show on this. You know, obviously you talked a lot about it in the beginning of the podcast, just about, you know, one of your first mentors, right? And Rick, and just the impact that he's had on your life. And I feel like I can say the same, you know, just on everything that Rick's helped me do, just navigating certain situations. You know, for me personally, I can say that I know for a fact I wouldn't be here where I am today playing overseas basketball if it wasn't for Rick helping me navigate through my whole senior year situation at Quinnipiac with my back injury and the red shirt and, you know, getting the copy and all that, and being able to have that last year that I had that ended up propelling me to be able to be a pro, you know. And even just outside of basketball, man, just if it wasn't for Rick, man, you wouldn't even know each other for real. You know, bringing all of us together, and Ace and Wiley and Corey and Rocky and everybody, you know, from, like, it's crazy because we all from the same place, but we didn't all really connect at, you feel me, if it wasn't for Rick bringing us all together, man. So I wanted to just talk about, you know, just give my man Rick his flowers, man, because I think a lot of folks from the DMV might not know the impact that he's had on a bunch of kids' lives, you know. So I just wanted to give you opportunity to kind of talk about that, man, and just talk about the impact that EDAS, Teen Society, that whole, Rick's whole thing has had on you.
No, Rick a real one, bro. Like, for the first time I stepped in the gym, like, he been sincere and a real dude. Like, I went to an open gym because of my coach, rest in peace, Van Winfield, sent me to an open gym at Greenbelt. And Rick happened to be there, and some coaches ended up being there. So I ended up chopping up with Rick afterwards. Like, it was up ever since then. And what I can say about Rick, like, he really in it for you. Like, he ain't in it for none of, like, no clout, no fame, no money. He ain't never asked me for a dime. Like, he just wanted to the best for the kid, you know what I'm saying? And he was going to do whatever it takes for you to succeed, you know what I'm saying? He basically, like, poured everything he had into us, bro. Like, no matter what our situation was, what different steps or, like, parts of life we was in, like, he was there to help us take that next step, and which is why a lot of us is doing what we do now. Like, a lot of us still hooping. A lot of us got jobs because of Rick's. Like, he put us in a position to get jobs. Like, people coaching now. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff everybody doing right now. Like, we all went our different routes, but it all leads back to the centerpiece of Rick, like, branching us out everywhere to be successful. So, like, flowers to Rick, man. And, you know, Rick, he know he got the, he keep coaching the middle school and stuff.
Yes, sir.
And so, yeah, so now I'm a little sponsor for them. That's so, like, cool. That felt real good to, like, give back to a dude like that to help me get to where I'm at today. So, shout out my man, Rick.
That's dope, man. Yeah, I think, you know, I definitely agree with everything you said, man, you know, but can't give Rick too much proper head, because, you know, his head going to get big, you know what I'm saying? So, I let him know, if Rick, you still bum, you still can't shoot. You know what I'm saying? I'm still waiting to see if you can coach this year on that middle school team. You feel me? I'm going to put it on the air, man. If you're going to be Penny Hardaway, you're going to be who? Like, what you going to do, man? You going to, what you, how you going to do all the talents you got? You got little Ricky on the mob.
You still owe me some meals on the E-Days card.
Oh, God, me too. So when I come home, you get the swipes. You feel me? Coming to the show, Rick.
Tell me.
Nah, for sure, man. But now this has been a great conversation, man. I definitely love chopping up with you, and getting to talk to wifey a little bit, you know, from the side, getting her input as well. You know what I'm saying? So definitely shout out to y'all, man. I'm proud of you, bro. You know, I'm proud of everything you've been able to accomplish, seeing you get buckets, you know, all over the world, literally. You know what I'm saying? So keep doing what you're doing, man. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, we've been locked in since we was teenagers. So to see us now as men, you got a family now, is definitely a pleasure to me, man. So like I said, keep doing what you're doing. I'm proud of you, bro. And like I said, I know I'm gonna see you soon in the summer for sure.
For sure. Appreciate it, family. Appreciate y'all for having me, man. Y'all stay safe, stay blessed. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Alrighty, guys. This has been another episode of the What's in Your Bag podcast presented by Bet Online. Make sure you guys are liking this podcast, subscribing to this podcast, giving us a 5-star rating. It does go a long way. If you listen to this podcast, just go ahead and tap that 5-star rating. You know, subscribe if you're on YouTube, wherever you're seeing this at. You know, it definitely goes a long way to helping this podcast get pushed out, man. And this is gonna be my guy, Pull Up Tay, on the outro. So make sure you guys stream his music. That was him on the intro as well. And we'll catch you guys next time, folks. Peace.
Already.
This has been another episode of the What's in Your Bag podcast, presented by Bet Online.
NBA from a class clown.
It's crazy how this shit changed.
You in your bag now.